This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to LabCast. This is your host, Jonathan Crow. With us today, we have Dr. Jeff Sutherland, the co-creator of the Agile Development Framework, Scrum. Jeff, thanks for coming back with us today.
Yeah, great to be here again.
And for many of our listeners, you're familiar with Jeff and his work. But for those who aren't, Jeff is a pioneer in the world of software development. He served as a VP of engineering as well as a CTO or CEO of 11 software companies. He's currently the chair of the Scrum Foundation and senior advisor and Agile coach for us here at OpenView. And you can learn much more about Jeff and the transformative benefits of Scrum at scruminc.com. So, Jeff, I'm really excited to have you here today. There's a topic that's been big in the news for the past couple of weeks. In fact, it's really swarming around a new buzzword, and that buzzword is holacracy. So, as listeners I'm sure know, Zappos a few weeks ago made a big splash when it announced it'd be removing its management hierarchy, replacing it with this radical self-governing system. And the response to this has been huge. A lot of people didn't know what to think about it at first. It sounds like this big fundamental shift. It's got a funny name. There's been a lot of rumors, misinformation flying around. Is Zappos getting rid of all of their job titles? Is there going to be no organization whatsoever? Is this just going to be anarchy? So people have kind of been tripping over themselves to respond to this, and they've been divided into these groups. And so some people have been saying, you know, this is really the future of corporate America. Everybody's got to get on board. This is a revolution. Other people are saying that this isn't going to work at all. It's just a big gimmick. No. It's not going to be functional. And then still others are pointing out that, you know, hey, this actually isn't an entirely new concept at all. People have been talking about this experimenting with different forms of kind of removing that corporate hierarchy for a while now. And so that's kind of the reaction that I had when I was reading about this new system. It jumped out to me that, you know, organizing a company around these smaller self-organizing teams and making those teams more autonomous sounds a lot like the principles that you talk so much about with Agile and Scrum.
Well, of course, yeah. Holacracy has been around a long time. I mean, for more than a decade, I was a medical school professor doing research on biological systems and mathematically modeling them. And what you see as soon as you try to mathematically model the human body is that it is a holacracy. In fact, there's nobody really telling anybody what to do in there. In fact, if you in your mind starts trying to tell your body what to do, you get high blood pressure and it screws things up. So, yet there is a hierarchy of things. It's really interesting. How does that work? There is a hierarchy, but there's nobody telling anybody what to do. Now, in the early days when we started Scrum, which was my way of responding to, I was brought from the medical school into a large bank running 150 banks as the vice president for advanced systems. And their huge projects always late, and everything the management was doing was making them later. If they're late, let's have more meetings. If they're late, let's have more reportings. If they're late, let's have more micromanagement running around checking up on everybody. And none of that works. It just makes it worse. So with my medical school background, I said, hey, we need a team-based process. We were working with Bell Labs at the time using their tools and technologies. And one of the first things I found out is that Bell Labs had eliminated job titles. Every person was member of technical staff. And they had done a huge amount of research showing that performance of teams was based on the way teams communicated, which is the first Agile principle. And the thing that broke communication was specialized titles. So they just got rid of them. There were none. So as we're putting together Scrum, the first thing we did was get rid of the titles. Everybody is just a team member. Then as we studied Professor Nanaka, the Japanese, looking at Toyota and how some of these lean companies work and how they use cross-functional teams and manage the teams, they had gotten rid of the manager. You know, they said, we no longer have the foreman at General Motors who tells people what to do. That slows things down. We're going to have a team leader who's a facilitative team leader. You know, it sounds just like a scrum master. He's going to help the team, not tell them what to do.
Right.
So Scrum evolved like that, these self-organizing teams. So what I tried to do initially is I wanted to get the teams focused on the backlog that was going to make the customers really happy. I wanted the product owner to own that. And what I found is there is a lot of engineering managers that do not know what is going to make the customer really, really happy. They just do not know that. And so we need to get the teams responding to the customer and the person that knows what the customer needs, not trying to please a manager who's going to do a performance appraisal on them.
Right, right. And so, I mean, that is a great example of how this concept of, you know, removing job titles, really bringing it back from having a, you know, people reporting to the next level up, having things formed around a more autonomous team. I think Zappos is calling them circles. And I think we talked about last time you were here, Spotify, and I think they call them squads or tribes.
Yeah.
And so having these smaller teams that are able to really function on their own and tackle these problems on their own without having to get, you know, without having a lot of outside dependencies, that's really kind of a core concept.
Yeah. In fact, you know, in my own company, what's happened as Scrum has started to emerge in companies, we found that the thing that causes it not to work the most is the management hierarchy not changing. We're just going to set up this cross-functional self-organizing team over here and expect it to, by magic, work without any help from management.
Right.
And help from management means managing, helping the teams, not telling what the teams what to do. They need to give challenging goals to the teams. The team need good goals. But then they need to move back more like investors. Okay, what do you need from us to achieve that goal? And how can we help you achieve that goal? So as the manager in my company, I'm really a coach to the company. And I'm a team member. I work on a team. If there's a scrum master needed, I become a scrum master for a while. If there's a product owner needed, I help out the product owner. I'm trying to figure out how this get this holacracy really working really well.
So that's a fundamental shift in mindset of being a manager who is there not to be demanding results or even informing what those results exactly should be, but really just kind of being someone who's helping and assisting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I imagine a big part of it then is helping to empower these teams to operate. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, this is a very big shift in the way, you know, teams are used to operating, individuals are used to operating within teams. What are some examples that you've had of the transitions that you've seen? You know, are there any ones where you've seen where that transition hasn't gone well? And do you have any tips that help, could help, you know, from managers kind of adjust their mindsets to shift into this role of really being more kind of hands-off investors and really empowering teams to be self-governing and highly productive on their own?
You know, in 1996, I became CTO of what is now GE Healthcare, and we had lots of managers and hundreds of developers, and so I came in. I was hired in to introduce Scrum. So one of the first things I did is get all the managers together, and I said, okay, our job is to make this organization really work. And to do it, we're going to have teams. And that means if you're a manager, you're probably a leader. And that means you're probably a leader of a team, but you're also probably on a team. So I'd like you as a management team to figure out what the teams are. And at the end of the day, we're going to de-emphasize the management titles because you're going to be a scrum master, a team member, maybe a scrum or scrums master. Some of them were fairly senior vice presidents that may have had multiple scrums of scrums, and so there was a little bit of hierarchy there.
Right.
But again, you want this hierarchy like you have in a biological system, but you don't want people telling people what to do. You want teams. We were talking earlier, you know, one of the things that affected Scrum was my work with iRobot. When iRobot started up, they came to my company and wanted to rent space for their lab. And so I had some extra space. And the robots would, intelligent robots, they were multi-legged robots, they'd come running out of the lab into my office every day. They had heat-seeking sensors. They'd try to hunt me down.
Okay? That's quite a way to start your day.
It was fascinating. So Professor Rodney Brooks was co-founder, senior professor at MIT. And one Friday I said, hey, Professor Brooks, explain how this robot works. It's really interesting. He says, well, he says, you know, let me just say before I explain the subsumption architecture on which this is based, we've spent 30 years at MIT trying to create an intelligent system, and no matter how big a database or how big a computer we created, it's been a total failure. So he says, I'm taking a totally different approach, which is the holacracy approach that Zappos has taken.
Right.
We're not going to have any hierarchy and central processor telling people what to do. The legs are going to know how to move. There's a chip in the leg that knows how to move the leg. There's going to, at another level, there is a hierarchy, but the hierarchy is there's a chip in the spine that can coordinate leg movements so that the robot can stand up and it can walk.
Right.
But it doesn't know where to go. So, you know, at another level, we have a neural network chip in the head that is taking all these sensor readings. There is no database. There's only sensors, the real world. And based on what's happening in the real world, its algorithms cause it to seek goals, and it will start coordinating the spine so that the robot runs around in the right way. And he bangs into things. He knows not to do that. And, you know, if he's going to come to the edge of the stairs, he knows not to fall down the stairs. And so there is this hierarchy, but it's all one kind of interacting whole, just like your body is.
Right.
It all knows, you know, your heart knows how to pump. You don't tell your heart what to do or you're going to get into trouble. Right. And your lungs know how to breathe. Your legs know how to run. And, you know, you may give it some direction, but then it kind of does it by itself. That's the holacracy in action, and I think that's what Zappos is trying to achieve.
Right, and I think that's a great, really great illustrative way of explaining it, too. And so one question that comes up as we're talking about this is, you know, it's great you have these smaller teams that know their own function really well. They know how to do that. They don't need someone telling them how to do it better. They're iterating, they're figuring it out, and they can run at full speed. What about, you know, making sure that there is alignment across these teams? I mean, is this where making sure that the organization has a good set of core, a good, solid, really clearly defined mission and some core values, is that where that can come in too?
That's important, but this is kind of we gave an agile architecture for us yesterday online, and what we're talking about is the architecture of the organization.
Right.
It's extremely important in software because the structure of the organization is reflected in the code. That's a law called Conway's Law. So one of the things we try to do with Scrum is get the organization organized in the way we'd like to see the code design.
That's interesting.
And so in good object-oriented design, there is no central point of control. That causes bottlenecks.
Right.
There's really good communication, but there's information hiding. So there's just not, you know, chaos of communication. There's carefully directed communication, and the components of the system know how to respond on their own. They're supposed to be intelligent enough to know if they get this message, then they know what to do.
Right.
And so you want to set up the organization just like that. And so, you know, managers, usually when I'm coaching companies, I say, okay, you managers are managers because you have some skills. You're usually smarter than the average person. And you usually have some specific skills, often technical skills in a software company. And you wouldn't have this job unless you had special talents. So the question is, how can you use those special talents to leverage this company the most? And if you ask a manager, are you leveraging the company the most with your talents by doing performance appraisals, creating budgets, you know, pushing paperwork? They'll say no. And in fact, the most senior vice president I had at what is now GE Healthcare, after 2 weeks, he had two or three Scrum of Scrums. He owned the Boston facility, which was our largest facility. And 2 weeks later, after we kind of reorganized, he said, "You know, Jeff," he says, "now that I'm a leader of all these scrum teams, I have to spend a lot of time out there coaching and giving them some direction and guidance. And so I don't have any more time anymore to make up all these budgets and push all this paper around. My inbox and my desk is overflowing. What should I do?" And I said to him, "Well, when you were a manager and not a leader, who was leading the teams?" He scratched his head. He said, "I guess nobody." So I said, "Thank God we finally have a leader. And let's figure out how to get somebody to help you with a budget."
Right. That's great. And so I guess my final question then, so talking about some of these principles, you know, as I mentioned before at the beginning of the podcast, there has been a really strong reaction to this idea and a lot of resistance to it. And so, you know, whether you're calling it holacracy or whether it's just it is this emphasis on having smaller self-organized teams that can operate on their own, is this concept for everyone? Should everyone be implementing this?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's a very competitive environment out there. So whatever you do has to really work. What we do need to know, a lot of people don't know, there are multi-billion dollar companies run with no management
right today.
And that gives them an agility and a speed, which if they can manage that without going off the rails, gives them a competitive advantage. So that's the challenge. And what I would say is you really need leadership in those companies, keep them on track. But you don't need a traditional manager telling people what to do. You need a guide, a visionary. I don't want to use Steve Jobs as an example because he was too dictatorial many times. So that not a perfect example. But he was a good example as a visionary for the company. The whole company would rally to that vision, even without him running around telling them what to do. And that's what you really need from leadership. So I would say the future is to de-emphasize management and emphasize leadership within a company. The future is people who used to be managers, now that they're leaders, they're coaches, they're motivators. They're not demotivated people by telling them what to do every day, micromanaging them, writing their performance appraisals, which they never like. People hate them, and so forth. So
right,
I think management has to change the way it thinks about business to really be successful in today's.
And I think it's a really good point. And if you look at, you know, just the results that you show with organizations that have adopted Agile frameworks, have adopted Scrum, I think the results speak for themselves. And so, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time again. It'll be great to have you back in the future. This is a really good topic. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Great to talk to you again.
Thanks, everybody.